Liberty University Broadcast Studio. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, folks. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Wow. Been a jam-packed Monday. Governor Mike Huckabee, Congressman Jody Heiss, Diamond and Silk. By the way, Congressman Doug Collins coming up in just a few moments, plus your great telephone calls and all sorts of the crazy stories today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free line. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be opening up the phone lines a little bit later on this hour. Also, just a reminder, folks, and we have a lot of brand new listeners. We've added 7 or 8 radio stations out in Nevada, 5 radio stations in Michigan, and we're excited to have you guys on board with us. And all of the callers from those radio stations, you guys are going to get a free gift package. Welcome to the neighborhood package from the Todd Starnes Radio Show if you call in. But in the meantime, be sure to check out toddstarnes.com and download our free podcast, all 3 hours of this radio program, commercial free, so you can listen to it at your leisure. Again, toddstarnes.com to download the free podcast. Well, there's a big story in the news from Lynchburg, Virginia, where there has been some conversation about whether or not to rename the town of Lynchburg. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line is a good friend of this program. He is the president of Liberty University, Jerry Falwell Jr. Jerry, good having you with us today.
Todd, always great to be with you.
All right, so what's the deal here? Some folks are saying it's time to rename Lynchburg, Virginia.
Well, you know what? I agree with them, and they were probably more shocked than anybody else that I agreed with them, because my family's always lived in this area since the 1700s, but always in the counties. Lynchburg's always been like a little island of carpetbaggers who came down here to run industries and to take advantage of the cheap labor from the counties after the Civil War. And they're a different breed of cat, I can tell you that. They fought us all the way when we were trying to build Liberty University, and they tried to stop us with zoning, tried to stop us with taxes, everything. I could go on all day about that. But we did it anyway. We brought in outsiders, which they didn't want, because they had one of the wealthiest little cities in the country in the 1800s, and they wanted to keep control. And it's been a constant battle. And the name Lynchburg is embarrassing for two reasons. One, it gives the connotation that there was lynching going on here. That's not true. But the other problem is it's named after Quakers who got here and started the city. Quakers were pacifists. They wouldn't fight in the Revolutionary War. And they were run out of they were ostracized and eventually run out of the state because they were hated so much. And if it hadn't been for that Revolutionary War, we would not have been able to end slavery in 80 years that had existed for centuries in the old world. And we did it. And it was not because of them. They claimed they were abolitionists, but they would never point a gun to end slavery. So I ain't buying it. And so anyway, it's two reasons we need to change the name. One, it's named after Quakers. And two, it's named after something that sounds like it's something it's not. There was never any lynching here. There was always the violence between the slaves and the masters were over in the Shenandoah Valley and other parts of the South. Not in this part of Virginia between here and the East Coast where my family came from in the 1600s. But anyway, probably more than you wanted to hear.
Now, this is fascinating because you're right. When I first heard that you were among those saying, yeah, we need to rename Lynchburg, I could imagine the leftists were already poised to attack. That's outrageous. I can't believe he said something. Wait, he said what?
That's what's fun because I agree with him. I think the name is embarrassing. We changed the name of Lynchburg Baptist College to Liberty Baptist College in 1976 for several reasons. One, the U.S. Bicentennial. Two, because there was another Lynchburg College in town. But three, because people we were trying to attract from all over the country saying, I would say, I'm not coming to a place called Lynchburg. And so it should have been done 40 years ago. And I'm glad somebody started the petition drive. And I hope that my support will encourage others to do the same.
My vote would be Liberty City.
Okay, well, I can't say that. You can. If I say that, then it definitely won't be Liberty, Virginia. But there was a Liberty, Virginia, just 20 miles west. Bedford, Virginia used to be called Liberty, Virginia, but they changed the name to Bedford. But it's, I don't care what the name is, but anything but Lynchburg.
Jerry, a couple of other questions beyond the name change here. How are things going for the fall at Liberty University? You know, a lot of universities still trying to figure out if they're even going to have a class on campus. What's happening at Liberty?
We're going business as usual. And if the governor tries to make us space everybody out and do all this stuff, it's not practical. I've already hired a law firm in Northern Virginia who already won a case in Lynchburg that allowed an indoor gun range to reopen. And we are ready. We're going to sue the governor if he tries to play any games and keep us from operating as usual, because what we're doing is we got 80% of our community, which is 18 to 23-year-olds, who have almost practically zero risk of death from this virus. Then we've got 20% that are older, the staff and faculty. We're going to put them behind plexiglass. We're going to put them on third shift. And we're going to keep it safe just like we did in the spring. And if the governor tries to stop us with his political games, they're using science to advance political agendas. The CDC is, I believe, and I'm just going to fire the biggest cannons I can fire, and I'm going to do my best to keep him from getting in our way. But it's that's the plan. Business as usual, and our numbers are up where they were last year.
And that's what I was wondering.
In fact, our online numbers are up. 98,000 was our previous record. Right now it's 108,000, and it looks like it's going up another 10% next year. So everybody is seeing that Liberty is the alternative to corrupt indoctrination academia, and we're going to keep on. The more liberals I make mad, the more students we get.
No doubt about it. And I know that moms and dads, too, are really appreciative of what you guys are doing at Liberty University.
No. Well, I don't mind being a lightning rod, but it just seems like the more bad press I get, the more students show up.
Jerry, what about football? Of course, y'all have a great football program there. What's going to happen?
Well, you know, a lot of the big conferences are saying they're going to play conference-only games, and that leaves – there's about eight or ten independent colleges, and so we've been talking to each other about doing our own conference and doing our own and the independent schools playing each other, and so it may end up being a blessing in disguise for Liberty, because we may end up being able to play teams that we otherwise wouldn't have been able to schedule. So that's just in the talking stages now, but we can't play if nobody will play us, but the independent schools seem to be receptive to the idea of the independent schools playing each other and creating a wonderful football season.
Well, I think that's a terrific thing. It's a great program that you guys have there, and it was a terrific season last year. You got to build on last year's successes.
Well, that's for sure, and it's won our first bowl last year. But if we, if we're able to play some of these independent schools that normally wouldn't be able to play us, then we're going to end up with a better season than we expected.
All right, Jerry, we're going to have to leave it there. Keep us updated on the name change.
I will, and congratulations on the lineup you got today. That's awesome.
I'll tell you what. And Jerry Falwell Jr. to round out the...
No, I wasn't talking about me.
It's a great
lineup. Wasn't talking about me. Okay.
All right, Jerry. So all right. God bless. Jerry Falwell Jr., president of Liberty University. You just know that some of those leftists, they didn't know what to do when they heard what Jerry had to say about Lynchburg changing the name. They got triggered, and then they got untriggered, and then they got triggered because they got untriggered. Brilliant. Very, very bizarre story to share with you before we go to break. This is coming from FoxNews.com. So there was someone by the name of Cody Timms. Cody Timms, a resident of the Atlanta area. And Cody loved his family and loved his neighborhood. He loved the outdoors, an outdoorsman, if you will, Cody Timms was. And Cody died and lived a very productive life, even at the age of 18 years old. Cody passed away about 12 years ago, to be honest. And, you know, we talk about voter fraud and how prevalent voter fraud is. Well, the other day, Cody's family received in the mail a voter registration card. So I'm sorry, this is terrible. I'm not laughing at Cody. I'm just laughing at the situation. Poor Cody has been dead for a dozen years. And Cody received a voter registration form in the mail this week. Now, that is not all that unusual. What makes this story very bizarre is that Cody was a cat, as in a house cat.
I have heard of this, actually.
Wait, so he had a first and a last name, by the way, this cat.
Yeah, Cody Timms. That was the name of the cat. Cody and Cody's family was the Timms family. And you know how some people are with their pets. They give them the last name.
I now understand the full life at the age of 18 comment from earlier.
When I was a child, we had a cat named Cuddles. And my mother named him Cuddles Starnes.
Oh, my gosh.
The only cat we've ever had had a name that might be problematic now with everything going on in 2020. Cat's name was Dixie.
Oh, yeah, that's... Caleb, I wouldn't have shared that. I would have kept that private. I would have kept that.
Cat's not ours. Yeah. Cat's in somebody else's care now. It's not ours. Might have changed the name. Who knows?
We also had a Kitty Wayne and and a baby Moses. Are you laughing at my mother? She named our cats.
I don't know how to answer this question.
Yes.
But see, it's funny because, like you say, you had a cat named Cuddles. That's actually the name of my cat. We don't call her that just because it's difficult to, you know, call it in repetition just because, you know, like animals sometimes respond to when their name is said repeatedly. And so we just call her Kitty.
Well, that's good because it was weird as a kid, you know, when, you know, mom would say, Todd, go call the cat for supper. And, you know, you have the meow mix or whatever.
Yeah.
And you'd have to go outside and you know, yell, Cuddles!
Yeah.
Cuddles!
You might have a couple of strangers show up at your door wanting some very uncomfortable hugs.
Baby Moses! That was really weird, actually.
We just played the Dukes of Hazzard horn.
And Dixie came a-running his head. So Cuddles was a very affectionate cat, and it had this. It was a big, fluffy, furry kind of a cat, and it would always, when you were walking or standing, it would just come over to you, and it would, like, wrap itself around your leg. And unfortunately, one day, Cuddles decided to do that with a rattlesnake, and the rattlesnake was not affectionate.
I can imagine so.
And so Cuddles got bit on the head, And so the poor cat's head, it blew up. It was about the size of a small pumpkin.
Good Lord.
And the poor thing couldn't, it had no balance because the head was so large. It would just tip over. It's a terrible
story. A bobblehead.
It's heartbreaking. And so So anyway, we thought Cuddles was going to die, and the cat recovered, so the swelling went down. But the problem was he was clearly had some sort of brain damage because the cat would just walk and say, let's say there was a door in front of you, and the cat would just walk right into the door and keep on walking. It just wouldn't stop, so you had to manually pick the cat up and point it in the direction.
Like a busted Roomba?
Pretty much. It's very tragic. All that to say, if you're going to register cats to vote, would they lean Republican or Democrat? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
Anyway, continuing the story about Cuddles the cat, after it was bitten by the rattlesnake and suffered brain damage, the cat had other issues, and it's very unfortunate, but not only did it have mobility issues, but apparently the cat went through something of a species identity crisis. And my parents had, back in the day, they had some chickens in the backyard.
No,
seriously. They had chickens.
And Well.
I'm serious. One day, my mother went back to get some eggs out of the chicken coop, and there was Cuddles sitting on the eggs.
Oh, my gosh.
The cat thought it was a chicken. I am not making this up. This is the honest-to-goodness truth.
Oh, I've heard of, like, you know, the most common thing that I've heard about animals not acting like the way that they have been designed is, you know, like dogs. It sort of seems like big dogs act like they're small dogs, and small dogs act like they're big dogs, but I've never heard of a cat acting like it's a chicken.
Well, but again, I mean, this was some sort of clearly the cat was brain damaged. I mean,
So this was after it got bitten by the rattlesnake.
Who is laughing? Who is laughing? This is a tragic story in the Starnes family.
You've been laughing for like the last 5 minutes of the show.
I know, but I'm doing it out of emotion.
Coping mechanism.
Out of emotional discourse.
So back, I'm not sure how this ties into to Cody the cat. Who names the cat Cody? That's a weird name.
It's alliterative.
Yeah.
Cody the cat.
True. Cody the cat. So the owner, Carol Timms, told Fox Atlanta, there's a huge push to get people to register to vote, but if they're trying to register cats, I'm not sure who else they're trying to register. Dogs, mice, snakes? It's a fair question.
I'd like to know how candidates market to cats.
Yeah.
What are the issues that cats care about?
Feline lives matter, I guess, but that's kind of a, you know.
All nine of them.
Been there. Well, there you go. But again, I mean, you know, dogs, I think dogs, if dogs could vote, they would vote Republican. Cats, I don't know. Maybe Libertarian. They're kind of ornery. 844-747-8868. ToddStarnes.com is the website. We got to take a break here. We love you, Cuddles. Kayleigh McEnany is really getting it from the White House press corps. They're very upset over the fact that the White House has been pointing out, and again, this was a memorandum that was sent out over the weekend to reporters that called out Dr. Anthony Fauci's credibility. And it was a legitimate memorandum. I mean, I think everyone in the country is very much aware that the so-called medical experts have been feeding us a load of grade A fertilizer, a load of hooey, if you will, when it comes to the China virus. And going back to the early days when Dr. Fauci told people there was no need for them to wear a mask, he discouraged people from wearing masks. And now all of a sudden, you know, this has become a political wedge issue. And all you know what is breaking out across the country as people fight back over whether or not to wear the masks and how serious of an issue this virus is. One of the things we're not being told, how many people are being retested? Are those numbers being included in the count? How many people, as far as the death toll is considered, how many of those deaths were strictly from the virus itself? How many of those people died from a pre-existing condition? We are not being told those numbers. And it is very important to put what's happening in this country in context. Now, that is not to marginalize or discount the virus at all. But it's important for us to understand why the country is still, by and large, shut down and exactly how long that shutdown is going to continue. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, a good friend of this program, running for the U.S. Senate in the state of Georgia, the true conservative in that race, the true pro-Trump conservative, our good friend Congressman Doug Collins. Congressman, good to have you back on the show.
It's always good to be with you. Hope you're well.
You know, I am, Congressman, and a couple of big stories, and I want to get to law enforcement in just a moment and the attacks on law enforcement. But this really is a situation now where the medical experts have been telling us something that their story has continued to change. And there may be a rational explanation for all of that. But at this stage of the game, the country cannot remain shut down indefinitely.
I agree. And, it's interesting. You know, the press want us to get distracted with fights between, administration officials, spokesmen. They want to focus on really the adjectives, if you would, instead of focusing on the pros of what's actually going on. And what we're seeing in places is we're seeing business open back up. We are seeing, more cases, but we're also seeing in many locations, although there's a rise in some parts of the country in hospitalizations, but we're seeing a managed rise in many of those areas of hospitalization as we go forward. Remember, most people thought, and this is a true thought, that is, and it's still wrong, that if they just stayed in for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, that the virus would go away. That was never the purpose of what we went through in April, March and April, and into the first of May. And now you've got places in more blue states and liberal governors and mayors who are trying to now stretch this out because of the control that they have is much more pleasing to them than actually finding real solutions keeping economies open.
And to that point, Congressman, we're looking at the state-by-state comparisons of the coronavirus illnesses and deaths. And by and large, we're looking at an overwhelming majority of the cases and the fatalities have been in places like New York and California and New Jersey and to some extent in Florida. But again, if you buy into the mainstream media narrative, the bigger problems are now the southern states. But the facts do not back that up. The data does not back up that argument.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Todd. What we're seeing is in areas of, again, what you would expect in areas of higher density populations, areas in which you have, more closed-in environments, areas in which you've kept people basically closed in more, you're seeing a continuation of the virus, and you're seeing that go forward. And, of course, you are seeing folks, frankly, from the areas, and it's been amazing to me to see the press try to contort the fact that when you have large-scale people out in protest, that also would tend to raise the numbers of viruses. And for all those who seem to say that that's not a factor, it's just, to me, wrong.
No, that's right, Congressman. And, again, we're looking at the data from, 30 days out. And it's very, you can see where the spike happened. And it happened about a week or two after those protest marches started. And now when you look at the graph, the numbers are clearly going back down. So, again, to your point, it's as if the blue state governors are trying to play politics with all of this.
Well, and that shouldn't surprise anybody. What I've had to live with for the last 18 months in Washington, D.C., is playing politics with everything that we do. And all the Democrats and the Speaker and everybody have wanted to do was attack this president because they knew November 2020 was coming. And all they have wanted to do is beat this president. So throw out logic, throw out actually doing something to the American people, throw out actually, being a part of a solution. And what you have is the current Democratic Party. And the 116th Congress, especially from the House of Representatives, has been an abject failure.
Congressman, on the issue of law enforcement, over the weekend, some very disturbing images coming out of New York City. Two police officers trying to make an arrest. A large crowd gathered around the officers. Someone tried to intervene, got into a fight with the police officer, and put the cop in a chokehold, in a headlock, and the cop ended up on the ground, had to have staples in his head here. We're starting to see crowds turn on police officers. This lawlessness is getting worse, Congressman.
It is. I want to see Bill de Blasio ride in a patrol car in New York City and actually respond the way that he's asking those officers to respond. I want to see him get out of that car and actually confront a crowd and actually have to deal with the folks that these officers had to deal with, who were admitted. One who turned himself in later was a gang member who actually been arrested many times. And when they did that to him, I want to see what the mayor says when he gets out in an environment like that and they do that to him. I'm tired of these mayors in these big cities hiding behind their own police security while they're out there attacking our police officers. As the son of a Georgia State Trooper, to see that done to a police officer horrifies me. And for anybody on the left to continue this fight of defunding police is disrespecting the police. I want to see AOC get in a car and go do a policeman's job. I want to see the others get in the car and go do their job. And for all these city councils who want to defund the police, cut their budgets in half, already they're understaffed in many areas and overwhelmed. What are you going to do to those police officers after you've had to lay police officers off? What are they going to do? Are they going to stay on the job? Probably not. I am so tired of these politicians pandering to the left on this defund police movement and also for against our police officers. Put themselves out there and go do the job or shut up.
Yeah, Congressman, over the weekend, we know that two police officers killed in an ambush in McAllen, Texas. The daughter of one of the police officers who was killed was actually heckled and slammed on Twitter because she posted the hashtag Blue Lives Matter. I mean, this is just unbelievable. Not just that they're going after police officers, now they're going after their families, too.
It's just wrong. I mean, where have we devolved in this society? This isn't evolution. This is devolving. This is going backwards. And the folks that are thinking like this have, you know, just look, we have to have a civil society in which everyone is treated with justice and respect. Red and yellow, black and white, they are all precious in his sight. Todd, you know this. We learned it at a young age. And everybody has to be lifted up. Everybody has to be a part of this. When we understand that you can't go after people on social media just because you're a keyboard warrior who wants to go after somebody because you know that nobody's going to say anything back to you. That's the height of wrong. That is just so wrong that people need to start seeing through it, and we're better than this. We're better than this.
We are, and you're right, Congressman. This is on the Democrats. They've got to call off the attack dogs. They've got to do what's right here. It's troubling when you even have leftist police officers in places like Seattle saying that city government is basically off the charts insane. So to your point, we've got to do something about that. Congressman, real quick, how is the campaign going? I know that you're in a tough battle, and your opponent, Kelly Loeffler, is spewing a lot of mistruths about you out there.
Oh, yeah, look, when you have nothing, that's what you say. You just start throwing things up to see if anybody believes it. Last week was pretty amazing. Senator Loeffler said that she picked an attack. She started an attack herself against the WNBA with the Black Lives Matter movement. And what was interesting she said, I don't want to bring – politics shouldn't be brought into sports. Well, I just have a question for you, Todd. Where was that same attitude for 9 years she owned the team, and she did a ticket-sharing process with Planned Parenthood? That's bringing in politics to the arena of babies dying. Where was she at when WNBA partnered with Mike Bloomberg on gun control? That's bringing politics into the WNBA. Where was she at when, you know, she supported the WNBA supported religious liberties restrictions, or she actually politicked and campaigned with Stacey Abrams, who was running against Brian Kemp on the floor of a basketball game of the team she owned? It's hypocrisy. And when you've got nothing, when you're trying to convince voters that you're actually a conservative, this is what you get. And frankly, it's sort of sad.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right, Congressman, as always, good having you on the show. Good luck out there on the campaign trail.
Thank God. Y'all have a great day. Take care.
All right. Congressman Doug Collins. Boy, he was fired up today, and rightfully so. unbelievable, this story out of McAllen, Texas, where this young teenage girl heard her father gunned down. She wrote a message on her on one of her social media, it was Twitter, with the hashtag Blue Lives Matter. She says, words cannot describe the pain I'm in, but I'm glad my dad is at peace. You're an amazing man, and anyone who ever came across you knew that. I'm going to miss you so much. You died doing what you love most. You died a hero. I love you, Daddy. See you soon. Hashtag Blue Lives Matter. And the hate and the vitriol directed at this young girl. Unbelievable. One person wrote, I am so sorry for your loss, but you did not have to use a racist hashtag. This is what Black Lives Matter is, folks. Nothing about race. It's about hate. This is what the Democrats are all about these days. Not a single Democrat condemns this kind of garbage. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Avery, turn your mics on.
Hey, yes, sir.
Just got a note from Joe Thorderson, who is a host. He hosts a weekend show on KWAM, which is our great affiliate, our flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee. Joe is also in charge of the Memphis Comic and Fantasy Convention.
Oh, yes.
So he was at some sort of an event and sent me some very interesting photographs over the weekend from this Comic and Fantasy Convention that he was at, this Comic-Con thing. So one of them involves a clown carrying a balloon, and clowns sort of freak me out.
It's Pennywise from It. That has to be what that is. I don't
Is that what it is? Yes.
It is looks it a like, red balloon and a clown with
it's
red
It's a red
hair?
Balloon and looks like an overweight Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, yes, that'd be Pennywise from it.
Okay.
A little creepy.
And then there are these other people. There are two Spider-Man people.
Oh.
All right, that looks good. And then it looks like somebody in a Zorro kind of a I don't know what this is.
That's
cool. I've only been in a place where I saw people actually dressed up one time, and that was when I went for the opening weekend of Avengers Endgame. Yeah. And I saw multiple people in Spider-Man costumes, multiple people in Captain America costumes. I saw one guy who actually had a life-size shield, the Captain America shield.
Oh, man.
So Joe sends me these photographs over the way. Hey, here's where I'm at. And then he just sends me a note. He says, you know, you've had some weird shows, but you have outdone yourself today, sir.
I mean, he's not wrong. He has a very solid point.
Seems
the
like
cat
a
story was a bit over the top.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was a true story. I mean, this is going to be in the memoirs.
See, you need some of those like little random moments of just pure gold to make
Show. The next book has to have a chapter about cuddles.
100%
Cuddles and the chicken.
Or Cuddles the chicken is what it sounded like.
Well, we were kind of concerned about the eggs when they hatched, what they were going to look like. But they look like normal chickens. So
good. Okay. That's good.
Hey, our good friend Lars Larson just sent me a text message. And we there's a crazy story out of Oregon. Got to share this with you guys. Looks like the governor has decided to ban gatherings of more than 10 people inside homes. This is a crazy story out there, but this is the headline from the Oregonian. Oregon Governor Kay Brown announces ban on indoor social gatherings of more than 10 people, outdoor mask mandate. So now you're going to have to wear your masks in public in Oregon. But the weird part about this, I want to read this to you. Oregon is banning social gatherings of more than 10 people and will require people to wear masks outdoors when they cannot maintain a 6-foot distance from people outside their households. The new mandate does not apply to churches or businesses. So this just applies to people inside the privacy of their home. So what happens if, well, I mean, we know the Duggar family's from Arkansas, but what would happen if you had like a Duggar family in Oregon? Well, like 5 or 6 people at a time would be. That's terrible. What would you do at that point?
Tell the toddlers to get a mortgage, I guess.
So I live in a so I live in a condo. Thank you for that, Caleb. I live in a condo in Memphis, and I just got an email from the condo management, and they are now going to. I got to read this to you guys. There are only to be 2 guests per condo home at any given time. So now they're telling us that you can only have 2 people. It's because of the CDC and the county guidelines regarding the China virus. So you can only have 2 people inside your apartment that are guests. Every guest must be met by the resident. They must be wearing a facial covering upon entry. Folks, it's getting out of control. It really is. It's just getting out of control. And I understand, look, I understand your frustration, and this is the challenging part here. We're in the dead heat of summer. People are frustrated. A lot of people don't have jobs. A lot of businesses are making it next to impossible for you to go shopping because of all the rules and the regulations. Businesses are shutting down. It's getting tough out there. But you can't take it out on the poor cashier. You can't take it out on the Walmart greeter. They're just doing their jobs. So, you know, I understand your frustration, but here's my philosophy. If the business requires a mask, you know, you gotta wear the mask, or you can go shop somewhere else, but don't take it out on the poor cashier. I'm sure they don't want to wear a mask either. All right, folks, get out there. Have a great day. Hug your cat and your dog. All right, we're going to do this again tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Show.